Well, here is Paul writing to a church, a group of Christians in the city of Colossae. And he's writing to them to help them to understand really what has happened to them when they become Christians. And he's trying to help them to understand why they don't need a whole lot of stuff that's around them in terms of some of the philosophies that are sort of popular and the approaches to life that are around them. And they don't need anymore a whole lot of stuff that's offered by some of the religion around them because they've got everything they need because they've got Jesus Christ. And he is enough. In fact, he's really all that there is to get. And so he's trying to teach them to keep on following Jesus and to keep on putting their trust in Jesus, to keep on seeking him for all the forgiveness that they need, to keep on being confident that Jesus is the one who not only has changed their lives, but he's the one who will see them safe, as it were, to heaven. Now, in this bit of the letter that Paul has written to them, he's wanting to get them to see how the change that's happened on the inside, so to speak, has to show on the outside. And so he uses clothing as an analogy. You know, like a million housewives every day open the wardrobe doors and say, I haven't anything to put on. You know, like, yo, rails of the stuff, nothing to wear. Anyway, so I'm told. The clothing analogy is really helpful for us because we get what fashion is about. We get what style is about. So if you like what Paul is saying here is, look, you've got a new life, so you need a new lifestyle. You've become new people, so let that become visible in the way that you behave. So that's the gist of it. We'll come to it a little bit more about it in a few moments. Let's read it together, Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another as the Lord forgave you. So I'll read that verse again. Bear with each other, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, new life, new lifestyle. You're a new person, so you're going to live a new way. That's what he's saying to them. Now, the new life bit comes in that first paragraph, which, as we're reading it through, you might have thought to yourself, what on earth is that all about? You died, your life is now hidden with Christ. What's he saying? Well, he's saying, if we can sort of summarize and express it this way, look, you've got a new life. That new life came from God. You didn't turn over enough new leaves. You didn't try hard enough. You didn't suddenly read an absolute ace book on how to transform your entire life and get thinner at the same time. This was something you did not do. God did for you. He gave you a new life. You have a new life from God. He's saying that when he talks about things like, since you have been raised. So God did something in your life. He took you from being dead towards him to being alive. He took you to being dead spiritually because of your sin that kills you, to being alive. So God did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. So this new life comes from God. And it is new life with God. He raised you with Christ. You're now where Christ is, so to speak. Your real life doesn't belong down here anymore. Your real life is like a heavenly life. Your real life is with God. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Where's your life really coming from? What's the source of the spring, so to speak? Well, when you become a Christian, it changes. In that the headwaters, the source of the spring, is now from God, from Jesus. So this is from God, and it's with God, and it's with God forever. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So you've got a new life, he's saying. Something happened to you. Something happened to you because you were being united with Christ. This wasn't just tweaking things a bit. This wasn't just like, you know, a new idea. This wasn't some plug-in. This was a complete change of who and what you are. You became a new person. You're not what you once were. Once you were dead to God because of sin. I mean, you might have had some spirituality, but it wasn't at all connected with the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might have connected it to almost anything else or anyone else. But it wasn't connected to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't connected to your Maker. And now that's different. And you were dead because of sin, but Christ dealt with your sin. He took all the guilt and the shame and all the sentence against your sin on the cross, on himself. He died your death on the cross. So you're different with respect to God now. You're alive with God. And that's because your sin has been dealt with. You've been forgiven. And you've got a new hope in you. See, this new life from God, with God forever, isn't just for now. It isn't just for this week. It isn't just a craze. It isn't just a phase you're going through. It's going to last forever. And I became a Christian when I was 13. My mom and stepfather both said, oh, it's just a phase you'll go through. They were right. Very long phase, like it's a phase that lasts, you know, all eternity. Some phase. It's that kind of thing, you see. You got a new life, you're a new person. Then what? So, imagine, if you will, that you have grown up as someone living in a country where everyone in that country was like the sworn enemy of the royal family in another country, a neighboring country. And I'm not talking about Scotland and England here at all. We've had the referendum, that's passed, okay, right, you know. So this isn't north and south of the border, but just imagine you that was what it was like for you. But everything you had been told about the royal family of that neighbouring country, actually, it was all filtered through the hatred of the people around you for that royal family. So they were described as really horrible people. They were tyrannical people. They were selfish people. They didn't even really exist, you know. And then one day, as you were in your own country, with all your preconceived notions about the enemy, royal family of your neighboring country, you were just heading down to the shops for some milk and a paper, and someone stopped you in the street, and they started speaking to you. And you thought, oh, what a really nice person. And that person was, in a way that you didn't even realize it, really helpful to you. And then you kept meeting that person. Not just when you're going down for a pint of milk and a paper, but you were actually just filling your car at the garage, and they were there. So you started, they were all over the place. How did they do that? And then they told you who they were. And they were a crown prince of the royal family of the country that you hated. And they asked you to go and live there with them. And what are you going to do with all your ancient animosity, all your cultural hatred? What are you going to do with all the lies you've been told about the royal family of that neighboring country? You've actually met the crown prince, and he's like the nicest guy you could ever possibly meet. And what he says just rings true, and he's incredibly helpful without being condescending. And actually, you really wish, before you knew who he was, you really wished that you could get to know him more and spend time with his family. And when he described the place where he lived, you thought to yourself, boy, I would love to be there. And then imagine that you took the massive, massive step of saying yes. You took this enormous step, and you knew what the consequences would be. You knew what people would say about you. You knew what people would think of you. You could predict the gossip, because you'd been part of the gossip before, so you knew what it was about. You said, okay, I'm going to come and live in your place. Now, if you went from that country, which was characterized by hatred of the royal family of the neighboring country, and you actually went and became a part of the household of the king and the crown prince, and all the rest of them. Could you carry on saying the things you'd been brought up to say? Would you carry on treating people the way that you did in the land of hatred? Would you carry on even wearing the things you wore with your subtle kind of emblems that said you belonged to a people that hated them? No. You'd have a new citizenship, a new family. So what would you do? You'd start wearing new clothes. You'd start behaving in a way that would fit where you now were. You'd start speaking differently. You'd react to people differently. You'd want different things. And you'd have to learn it, because it wouldn't come naturally to you, because you'd never been brought up with it. You'd have to learn it, and you wouldn't have to learn about it, you'd have to learn to do it, but you would. So when Paul says you've become a new person, he goes on from verse 5 to say, so a whole lot of stuff that belonged to where you once were has to go. And it's stuff that was natural to you. It was stuff that was so natural to you, you didn't even know that you were doing it, let alone that it was wrong. It was like asking a fish, a goldfish, about water. Goldfish don't know about water. They've just got what they've got. That's all there is. There's nothing, never anything else to compare it to. It was natural to you. So all the stuff that gets listed, there was a time when you thought, what's wrong with this? This is how you behave. This is what you, this is the clothing, to pursue the picture. This is the clothing that you know, this is what you wear. So, sexual immorality, well, what do you mean immorality? It's just sex. Who's to tell me it's immoral? I'll do what I like, isn't it? I used to say that sexual immorality. That's just sex. Impurity. Oh. Lust? Hey, that's natural. That's, you know. Evil desires? What do you mean evil? I just want to kill the person who works next to me because of the way they eat. Greed? Well, that's just ambition. And that's just, you know, it's there, you should get it. You make a god out of things. So you've also got to rid yourself, verse 8, of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. We know people, maybe this has been a problem for us, who don't even know how much they're swearing. They don't even know how much they're using the F word. They don't hear themselves saying it. It's just so automatic. Or blaspheming or whatever. It's just like the air they breathe. You don't notice it. Don't lie to each other. See how it goes? All that's got to go, because that belongs to the place where you once lived. That belongs to the life you once had. It's not you anymore. It's not you anymore. So, put on the clothes. This is what we do anyway, isn't it? Most of us, if we are actually choosing our clothes, and that is not necessarily a conscious process for everyone, right? Not everyone chooses what they're going to wear that day, right? So it's just like, either it's what was lying on the floor anyway, or it's just the first thing you grab, or you just have never really thought about it. It's clothing, I'll put it on, you know? And if both socks match, that's a win. Yeah, and if there's any matching of what you wear, phew, that's a fluke. You won't notice it, obviously, but it's a fluke. So, you see, what you do, you put on, when you're actually thinking about what you wear, you put on what expresses you and what fits in the context that you're in so that you don't feel like an idiot. So you wear what expresses you in the context of work, if there's a sort of a dress code for work. You wear what expresses you when you go to a party or a night out or a restaurant. You wear what expresses you when you're just mucking around on a Saturday. Now, you've got a new self. You live in a new land. You're part of a new family. So wear the new you. Gok Wan will be proud of this, wouldn't he? You wear the new you, you see. And that fits the context here and now. New life, new lifestyle. So you put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now you start speaking, talking, thinking, relating, responding, planning, wanting, like the people around you, the amazing, wonderful people around you that all you'd ever heard about before were lies. And now you know the truth. So you start actually being like them. Therefore, verse 12, this is what he's saying, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with what belongs to your new life. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You know, all the people where you used to live will think that's weak and stupid and you've turned into this pushover and doormat and all the rest of it. That's part of the lying culture. Actually, you've begun to realize that compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with people, forgiving them, makes life better. It's more satisfying. Gets you into less trouble. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart so that it quells the panic. It rules in your heart the peace of Christ, knowing that he's in control of your life, knowing that your sins are forgiven through him. That quells the panic. It silences all those little voices that set you on edge. Let it rule in your heart. And let it rule in your heart when you're thinking about other people around you. So that instead of being quarrelsome, irritable, and just a pain in the neck, and Mr. Contrary, you are called to peace. So let Christ's peace rule in you, not just to quell what's inside and calm it and give you peace within, but actually to make you a peaceable person. And so it goes on. Now here's the rub. If you want the new lifestyle, if you want to be like that kind of person, you've got to have the new life. Paul's using clothing analogy, but he's saying it's clothing that fits who you really are. And if you're not really that person, you'll never be able to wear those clothes. You've got to change the inside. Well, what did we say at the beginning? You've got to ask God to change you on the inside. You've got to ask God to give you a new life. And then day by day, month by month, year by year, your wardrobe changes. And you lead a new lifestyle. And after a very short time, you wouldn't go back to the old way for all the tea in China. Let's pray.